The Gemara Masechta Metzuyah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph compares the situation mentioned in our Mishnah where Shneimachs Metalis, two people are holding on to a talis, Zema Nimitzasiyah, one person says it's completely mine, and one person says it's completely mine. But the Mishnah says that the halach is that they should make a shvua, both of them should make a shvua, v'yachloiku, and then they'll divide the talus in two. Ask the Gemara, there's another situation that's referred to in halacham, and that is Bein Rabbanan and Bein Rabbi Yossi, l'gabecham v'niyal pinkasai. The halach is, if there's a merchant who has a book, and in those days the storekeepers weren't just merchants, they were really in a way like a bank, and someone who has employees tells the merchant, please pay my employees, and then the merchant comes and says, I pay them, and the employees come and say, we weren't paid. That the halach is Zen Nizhra V'Noitel, the Chenvani swears that he did lay out the money and he collects, Zen Nizhra V'Noitel, and the worker collects. Maishna asked the Gemara, why is the halacha like that over there? Loya Minin, Nafka Mimoina Mibalabais. Why should we? Somebody's saying something which is not true. So why shouldn't the halacha be that in such a situation, the money should be left, that the money should be left on the side, not that both the merchant and the employee should be entitled to Bavadi Ikramai. There is certainly someone who's lying. Either the merchant is lying or the workers are lying. And we are now learning in our Gemara here on Daf Gimel, when there's certainly someone who's saying they're not something which is not true, the halach is that the money should be left on the side. Amri, to which they answered, Hasam Hainatami, this is the reason, Dom Lechan Vilani Labalabais, that Chanvani, the merchant, could say, Anoshli Sucha the Doch Kavidna, I did what I was supposed to do, Mayasli Gabesacher, I don't know this worker, I have no connection to this worker, Vavgav the Kamishtabali, and even if the worker is prepared to swear that he did not get what I was supposedly, what I say I gave him, lam hemeli b'shua, he's not an individual that I trust. At Hamnet, you are obviously an individual who trusts that worker. Delay amritli beside the havela, you never instructed me that when I pay your employee, I should make sure to pay him only in front of witnesses. So you trusted him. You should bear the responsibility. I didn't trust him. I don't have to bear that responsibility. V'sochanami omle labalabais, and the worker could say to the owner, "Ana avidi avidi de kabach. I did my job. I did my job. I worked. Ma'yislach gabechavoni. I don't know. The merchant and I have no relationship. I didn't work for him. I worked for you. V'avagav d'mishtabali. And even if the merchant is prepared to swear that he paid me, lem hemeli, I don't trust him. And therefore there, it's a unique situation. Hilkach tavai mishtabdi v'shakli. Therefore they both swear, both the merchant and the worker, and they take their money from the balabais. So the Rishonim already point out, we understand, it's understandable that the worker in this situation, the employee in this situation, is entitled to swear and collect his money. He did a job. He claims he wasn't paid for his job, and therefore he has every right to say, I want my salary. But why does the merchant just swear and collect the... Why does the merchant just swear and the balabai should have to pay him and the employer should have to pay him? So the Ramban says that this is a special takonis chazal, actually, if we think about it, he shouldn't have to pay. Because this is like a situation where a nitva says, I don't know if I have to pay. But we learned actually at the end of Masechta Bava Kamma that in such a situation, he doesn't have to pay. And therefore the Ramban says this is Peshal Takanas Chazal. However, most Rishonim disagree. And they explain for two reasons. One is, this is a situation of Bari Vishema. The merchant is saying, I know for sure that I paid. The employer cannot say that with a certainty. Moreover, say the Rishonim, the Tzoyis also says this first, quotes about a Trumas. Since there's a concept in Halacha of Shlich Usa Shlich Usai, so when this merchant was asked to do what he when was asked to pay, we have every reason to believe that he did what he was asked to do, and therefore we combine all of these factors, Bari Vishema, Shlich Usa Shlich Usai, the owner, that's why he swears and is able to collect the money that he says he laid out. If we look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tzadik Aleph, Sif Beis, the Aloch is, as is mentioned in our Gemara, that in this circumstance, both the owner, both the chemveni and employees swear, and then the employer will have to pay both of them. The halach is, as stated there in the Shulchan Aruch, is that these two shvuas should take place one in front of the other, and as the Noisa Kalim explain, because we want them to be uncomfortable. One of them is lying, and maybe if we make them swear in front of each other, they'll be reluctant to swear so obviously falsely in front of the person who knows the truth. And furthermore, the halacha is that the chenveni, and this is very much in line with what we just explained, who's the first to swear? The chenveni has to swear before the workers. Why does the chenveni have to swear first? Because the worker's claim is a much stronger claim than the chenveni's claim. And therefore, to make the chenveni uncomfortable, we make the chenveni swear first. There's a tshuva, and the Shalos Tshuvos Tzitzeliezer, Simen Chelek Zayin, Simen Mem Ches, Perik Vav. He discusses a shaila which is directly related to our Gemara. He discusses a situation where there was a storekeeper who had a book. He gave credit to customers, and he has in the book that there's a certain woman, a certain customer, who owes him a certain amount of money. When he came to this person who owes him the money, this person says, the amount of money you say I owe you is incorrect. I don't really owe you that much money. But she does admit that she owes a much smaller amount of money than this storekeeper claims she owns. So at first guess, it would seem that this is a case of chenvani al pinchasai. We're learning here the halacha is that a chenvani is trusted al pinchasai. However, the Tzitz Eliezer makes a very important point. He says, as we discuss the halacha of chenvani al pinchasai, the case of chenvani al pinchasai is only in the specific situation that we just stated, where somebody asked the Chenveni to pay his employees. That's when we have the special unique circumstances of Chenveni Alpin Kasoy. Without all of these special circumstances, we just don't say because a merchant has a book and the book says that somebody owes him money, the halacha is that the Chenveni is automatically believed. And in fact, he quotes a tshuva from the Shalos Tshuva Snoida B'Yehuda, Medura Tinyan HaChosh Mishpat Simen Tez Vav. And I'll read some of the words of the Noida B'Yehuda. Dava Pashahu Yosin Bei Bekutcha. She'ein Pinkasah Shal Ruvain. Just because Ruvain has a book doesn't make enough Mor L'Chai V'Shimon. That Shimon, just because it says in the book that Ruvain owes Shimon money, that should be enough that Shimon should have to pay. Then Picasso showed the Moyo Yos Metanos Balpeh, Betanis Bari. Something written in the book is not stronger than somebody making an oral claim. Vimalo Machishon, if the other party denies, Kishem Shetanos Balpeh, Enem Chayve Shikonegdoi, an oral claim isn't obligatory. Kach Ein Picasso Machayve Shikonegdoi Rakshua. So too isn't the book anymore obligatory. And therefore, just because it's marked in the book that someone owes someone else money, that in itself doesn't obligate in any way. However, continues the Tzitz Eliezer, in this situation it's very unique. This situation is because she's a Moedah B'Miksus. And as our Gemara here in Masecht Bava Metzia Daf Gimel and many other places in Shas teaches us that a Moedah B'Miksus is Chayiv Shvua D'Raisa. So here she was Moedah, the customer was Moedah that they do owe some of the money, and therefore in such a situation a Shvua is in order. And the Tzitz Eliezer concludes that the Bat Edinim Bizman Hazeh try to avoid a shvua taking place, and therefore in this shaila that the Tzitz Eliezer is discussing, he says the Beis Din should try to make some sort of a compromise between these two parties, and by making a compromise between these two parties, that will be better and the right way to go versus making a shvua. However, as much as we've just discussed, that just because the storekeeper, the merchant, takes out a book, that does not obligate the party any more than if he would have made an oral claim. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadik Aleph Sif Hei does say, Yesh lodna pin kinkasa shel adam shiroga lichta b'inyonav. If a person runs his entire book, his entire business out of his records, and we know that his records are meticulous, Vafila, we can rely on it. And says the Shulchan Aruch, Vafila haitzim yisayimim ketanim. Even to collect money from yisayimim ketanim, we can rely on these records. Provided, says the Shulchan Aruch, heichad yesh reglayim ledover. If there's a strong reason to believe that what's written in the book is indeed correct. And in looking in the Noisi Kalim on the Sif, what is considered a situation the Noisi Kalim discuss that we could indeed be comfortable in believing that this is a situation that we should rely on the merchant's records? So the Noisi Kalim give a number of conditions. One condition is that he keeps everything in these records. Only if the merchant has everything recorded in these records, then we could say that the records indeed represent a very reliable source of reasoning to believe that the claim is accurate. Moreover, say the Noisa Kalim, we only rely on these records, say the Noisa Kalim, when he records all of transactions in these records immediately after they take place. But if the person doesn't record all transactions immediately after they take place, then we can't rely on these records. The Cheshukei Chemed here discusses a different situation. Somebody has a book, and there was a terrible situation. The book got burnt, destroyed, missing, and a large amount of his account receivables are recorded in these books. What can he do? So in a situation, of course, where both the merchant and the customer aren't sure if any money is owed, so that's a situation of Shema v'Shema that we actually discussed at the end of Masechta Bava Kamma. And the Gemara says in a situation of Shema v'Shema, there's no obligation to pay, even Lotzeis L'day Shemayim. But what about if there's a situation where the customer knows that he's bought food or other items, whatever, on credit, but he doesn't know how much he owns, how much he owes? What should be done in such a situation? So it seems that in such a situation, it's not just enough that he should pay him. If he wants to be Yoitza B'day Shemayim, it's not just enough that he should estimate what he owes. He has to pay as much as the storekeeper says, "I believe you owe me." And if he doesn't pay that much, so Enochanami, Meikur Hadin, he doesn't have to pay at all. But if he wants to be Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim, he's not Yoitz Yedei Shemayim until he pays the merchant the amount that he's satisfied, certainly covers any debt that he may have. Of course, it goes without saying that the merchant may not take advantage of this halacha and come up with some unreasonable number because he has the upper hand.